Nicholas Bernoulli proposes a game to be played between Peter and Paul, in which Peter tosses a coin and continues to toss it until it comes up heads. Peter will pay Paul $2 if heads comes up on the first toss, $4 if heads comes up on the second toss, $8 on the third, and so on. With each additional throw, the number of dollars Peter must pay Paul is doubled. How much would you pay Paul, who stands to rake in a sizable sum of money, for the privilege of taking his place in this game? We're going to play a round of the Petersburg payout game on this show. Stay tuned as I flip that coin and talk a little bit more about the Petersburg payout. Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer on the Mad Money Machine show number 37. After a week away from the microphone, I sure did miss you.
The Mad Money Machine, nominated as Best Business Podcast at podcastawards.com.
I've got a lot of things to talk about on this show, and I can't wait to get to it. The Mad Money Machine is sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer. Kids will be back in school soon, and the Beltway traffic will instantly be back to a standstill. Coming up on this show, I'm going to talk about my individual stock holdings a little bit. Talk about a couple of websites, stocks picking spam, Kramer on Imus, Frank Barnico, real estate where I live, and more. I've added a new poll out at madmoneymachine.com along the right-hand side, somewhere down on the right-hand side there. It asks the question, what music works best for the Mad Money Machine? I know people have been emailing me. They say, Paul, we like the hard rock. Paul, we like the classical. Paul, we don't like any music. Well, I'm going to put it to a vote. And it doesn't even ask for your email address. All you need to do is choose one and press vote. And then you can view the results in progress. Here are the responses you can choose from. Hard rock. Classical. No music. Mix it up. Acid emo punk. Or something else. Pick one and let me know. Well, I know that a lot of you that listen to this show also like to keep informed about Jim Cramer. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about a link to an interview that he had on Imus, about 11-minute long interview that went behind the scenes into Cramer's personal life a little bit. Don't want to turn this show into a gossip magazine, but I know that you're interested in Cramer, so you might want to go take a listen to that. I'll have a link to it in the show notes on this show. Does spam work? There's a link to an article at the BBC, study done by Professor Laura Frieder of Purdue University. She analyzed more than 75,000 spams between January 2004 and July 2005. They were particularly interested in looking at spam messages that tout stocks to see whether the spammer can actually make money. It said people who respond to the pump and dump scam can lose 8% of their investment in 2 days. The team found that a spammer who bought shares the day before starting an email campaign and then sold them the day after could make a return on his or her investment of 4.9%. If someone who received the message chose to invest $1,000 in a promoted company, they'd be left with $947.50 after 2 days. Our analysis shows that spam works, the team wrote. Among its millions of recipients are not only those who read it, but who also act upon it. Security firms advise email users to install a spam filter, delete unsolicited messages, and never respond to offers. If you haven't been out to my Frapper map, then you won't know that I live in Leesburg, Virginia, Loudoun County, Virginia, Northern Virginia. Loudoun County is either the fastest growing county in the country or the second fastest growing county in the country, depending on which particular months or years you measure it recently. In the Wall Street Journal, in the last 3 months alone, there have been articles about the real estate pop, the real estate bust. And in each one of those three articles, Leesburg, Virginia was mentioned. Yes, housing prices have appreciated rapidly in this county. We bought our home 7 years ago in Leesburg and seen prices almost double on it. An article in the paper recently talked about a woman in Herndon, Virginia, who had a home that she wanted to sell for $1.1 million and move to Florida and retire. She put it on the market. No takers. She lowered the price. No takers. She lowered the price. No takers. She put it up for auction with a minimum bid of $675,000. No takers. One woman who attended the auction had liked the house for a long time. She contacted the woman's seller and offered her $500,000. The two compromised and agreed to sell it for $530,000. More than a 50% discount from her original asking price. Well, I hope my house value goes down by 50%. So my tax bill gets cut in half. Then we'll really hear moaning, won't we, from county and city governments about how they can't pay their bills. No, but seriously, if everybody's house value went down by 50%, that's a whole lot less money sloshing around in people's home equity loans, isn't it? So let's talk a little bit more about this Petersburg payout game. How much would you pay to take Paul's place in this game? If you said $2, well, yeah, sure. $2 is the minimum that Paul's going to get. And of course, you'd pay Paul to take his place. But would Paul want to accept that offer? Paul has a chance of not only making $4, but a pretty good chance of making $8 or even $16 if heads doesn't come up till the fourth flip. Since coin flip is independent, there's even a chance that heads could come up on the 10th flip. How much would that be? 2 to the 10th power is what? $1,024. I should have started this game out with $20 just to see the power of the compounding here. If I'd started out with $20 payout instead of $2 payout, what would the doubling have resulted in after 10 times? $10,240. Now I'm starting to get your attention. If the payout was $20, how much would you be willing to pay Paul to take his place? Of course, $20. Would you pay him $40 to get a chance for $10,240? Would you pay him $80? Remember, I mentioned in a few shows back about prediction markets and the wisdom of crowds. And inklingmarkets.com was the tool in the crib. I have set up a Petersburg payout market at Inkling Markets. And one of them expires on Wednesday, August 30th. That's right now when I'm recording this show. And I'm going to flip a coin and see how much we're going to pay out Paul and how much folks are going to want to take his place. Now, here's the method I'm going to use to flip a coin. I'm going to use my right hand. I'm going to put the coin over my thumb. I'm going to flip it up in the air. I'm going to catch it with my right hand then and turn it over onto the back of my left hand. And whichever side is up, that'll be the call. Here we go. Flip it high in the air. Oh! And the first one is heads. Doggone it. It's only a $2 payout. Well, I'm going to play this game again for a payout date of Wednesday, September 27th. And if you'd like to get in on the game, go to inklingmarkets.com and look for Petersburg payout.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 4. Time pickers. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I've tried all the market timing systems, and I just can't figure it out. It's madness. Can't anyone tell me when to get in and out of stocks? Sure they can, I keep telling myself. I see your crooked glance. I've got to get back in the black soon. My portfolio is bleeding. I'm gonna scream.
When I look at this, I just can't figure it out. I've tried all of these methods to see your madness. I don't think that I can see the crooked glance you're giving me. And all I tell myself are the same damn lies. And you said, don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get
Time pickers, also known as market timers, believe they can predict the future direction of the market. But time pickers are fooled by randomness in the market. Academic studies prove that time picking doesn't work. Gains and losses are impossible to identify in advance. To add insult to injury, time pickers pay more taxes. If you or your investment advisor ever say the phrase, "Now might be a good time to invest in," we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there some way you can rescue me? Some way you can bring me home again? Some way you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue me.
Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Machine Show number 37 is Frank Barnico. What? Oh, no, that's unbecoming. Don't boo, people. Frank Barnico writes a column for MarketWatch.com. Of course, anybody who writes for MarketWatch has to be considered a guru for the Guru Roulette Wheel, right? Well, first, let me just ask you a question. Have I told you about the fact that this podcast has been nominated for Best Business Podcast at PodcastAwards.com? Sure, I have. And I've told you that I'm going to the Podcast Expo in Ontario, California, into September. Well, Frank Barnico does a 50-second long podcast for MarketWatch. And he weighed in on the Podcast Awards, and here's what he had to say.
Podcast Awards, who cares? A highlight of next month's Podcast Expo in California will be the second annual Podcast Awards. Too bad they mean nothing. Only one of podcasting's most popular shows will get a prize. That's because on the ballot, there were 100 programs you've never heard of.
I am kind of surprised about that.
That's Todd Cochran. He organized the awards, but he knows many people who make these homegrown radio shows are not going to get rich on advertising.
On average, I think most shows probably are seeing typically 3,000 to 5,000 listeners on many podcasts. That's not a huge number when you're talking to a media buyer or you're talking, you're trying to compete with a major media brand.
That's okay. Change the awards. Next year, ask advertisers, which have already sponsored podcasts like Earthlink and GoDaddy and Acura, ask them to promote the awards. The result will be millions of new podcast listeners and voters, and the awards will mean something outside the clubhouse. I'm Frank Barnico from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Holy cow, that just sounds so arrogant, doesn't it? The major media arrogance of saying that the results will mean something outside the clubhouse. So did you hear what he said there? He said the podcast awards mean nothing. Only one of podcasting's most popular shows will win a prize. He said there on the ballot, there are 100 programs you've never heard of. He says that many people who make these homegrown radio shows are not going to get rich on advertising. And Todd Cochran talked about the estimated number of some listeners between 3,000 and 5,000. Well, that's right on the mark, for me especially. But he says that's not a huge number when you're trying to compete with a major media brand. Well, here's an idea then, fellas. Let's all just become part of the major media brands. Let's have MarketWatch's Mad Money Machine. Let's have Wall Street Journal's Manager Tools. Let's have Business Week's Media Artist Secrets. And let's have Time Magazine's David Maister's Business Masterclass. Is that what'll make you happy, Frank? Change the awards, he says. Ask advertisers to promote the awards. This will result in new listeners, new voters, and the results will mean something outside the clubhouse. Well, let me let you in on a little secret here, Frank. The results don't mean anything to the Cramers and the Kiplingers and the Fidelities and the Vanguards and the Wall Street Journals and the Market Watches of the world, but they do mean something to the 100 or so that have been nominated for podcast awards. I know that the people who have found my podcast are more than 1,000 now.
They go to Podcast Awards, see what podcasts have been voted on, and then go and take a listen. Now, if Kramer had asked his listeners to vote on his show as best podcast, of course, his is not a podcast, it's a radio show that's uploaded, then he would have wiped me away in the number of people voting for his show. I have no illusions about that. But would the results have meant anything to the listenership of his show? I estimate he gets 10 to 15 times more downloads than I get. So would 1,000 extra people mean anything to him? It's not worth the mention to him on his show to have people vote for his podcast. Frank, are you jealous that nobody voted for your podcast, your 50-second long podcast? Maybe not all podcasters are looking to get rich on advertising. Have you ever thought about that? Why does every award have to be a popularity contest? Frank, I love the work you do, but that was an arrogant piece. Well, there you have it, our guru for show 37, Frank Barnicle. Oh, no, 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 let's be polite, people. Come on, let's give him a round of applause. Whew, I just had to get that off my chest. I'm all right. I'm over it. All right, let me open up the kimono and tell you a little bit about my stock ownerships. Not too long ago, I think I owned as many as 30 different individual company stocks. Having come to the realization that stock picking and time picking isn't the right thing. You know, by the way, the beginning of those 12-step for active investors programs, there's a whole lot of truth in a lot of those. About me having active trading software and trying to figure out a way to time the market and all that sort of nonsense. Yeah, I've bought all the books. The Kramer book and the... I've got the one from the IBD, the Investor's Business Daily, How to Make Money in Stocks by William O'Neill. And of course, Phil Towns, Rule Number One, and Joel Greenblatt's Little Book That Beats the Market. Peter Lynch's books. Anything with Warren Buffett on it. Well, I have finally pared down my investments to mostly index funds. I still own 5 individual stocks. I'll tell you about them. One I've owned since, I think, 1996 is Microsoft. And boy, was that fun in owning that in 98, 99, and in early 2000. Then it wasn't so much fun owning it in late 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, and most of 2006. But I've held it. I still have a bit of a capital gain in it, so when I sell it, I gotta pay the government part of that gain. And then I read that Jeremy Siegel book, The Future for Investors. In there, he talks about the best stocks to own were the dividend-paying stocks. I said, well, all right, I'll go find one that pays a good dividend. And, you know, those stock screener programs you run, you type in, show me the stocks with the highest dividends. And pop, up to the top comes New Century Financial, NEW. And it's a REIT, but it's a subprime mortgage lender. Remember that stock that was the triple buy stock way back when in the Mad Money Machine? Southern Copper Corporation, PCU. Yeah, I own some of that. It's been hovering around $90. It pays a pretty good dividend, 9% or something too. Fording Canadian Coal, also a big dividend payer. I own that in my retirement account. And MasterCard went IPO earlier this year, symbol MA. My broker allowed me to get in early on the IPO there. They had me type in how many shares I wanted to buy pre-IPO. I typed in 200. Well, they only gave me 100, wouldn't you know. That stock has been up 41% since I bought it. That's the one winner in the whole mix. Fording Canadian's down 10%. New Century's down 9%. Southern Copper, it's been up and down. I can't even tell where it's been. Microsoft, as I've told you, has kind of been a long-term winner, but a short-term loser. I'm anxious to get my accounts cleaned up. Get some of those nonsense stocks out of there. Those aren't investments. And then All the time that I spend looking in my active trading will be just for the fun, stock picking, playing the markets. You know, I do find that I miss watching the stocks every day. I have this active trading software, and oh man, it gets addictive to bring that software up and watch the numbers flicker green or red or yellow when they change. It's such a endorphin rush when they go up 1 or 2 or 3% in a day or two. And it's so painful to see them drop precipitously, think May 11th and May 12th. And so instead of worrying about all these individual stocks as investments, I want to get out of them and just get into some speculative plays. Probably one or two stocks that I'll follow closely and just play with a little bit of money. Well, I figured up how much it costs to make Lipton cold brew. I can buy a box of 22 family-sized tea bags for about $2.09. The expensive part is all the Splenda I use to make it taste nice and sweet Southern style. Go to Costco and buy a box full of two big bags of granular Splenda. I can't remember how much it costs, probably $15 or $18 or more. That works out to be about $1 a gallon for the tea. Well, whatever it costs, it tastes pretty good. Time now for a long overdue tool in the crib. You ever have a question about how to invest the right way? Look no further than diehards.org. Now, I've mentioned this a couple of times in passing on previous shows. Doug Ashley had written a comment on diehards.org telling people to go to see the Mad Money Machine. .com website. And of course that book I keep talking about, Boglehead's Guide to Investing, its home webpage is diehards.org. Well, Diehards really links you out to Morningstar's Vanguard Diehards forum. This forum is so full of conversations, it's almost unusable. But the people out there have such great knowledge about asset allocation and how to invest your money for the long term. If you haven't checked it out, it is an absolute must place to go look. And if you check my website in the tools section, I'll give you a hint on how to use Google to search that forum for topics that you might be interested in. Yes, you too could be a boglehead at diehards.org. Like all the other tools I've given you, this one is free. So I just went out to inklingmarkets.com and cashed out that Petersburg payout trade. There were only four traders in there. Three of them actually earned money. One of them lost a sizable sum. I'll have to look into this to see why people earned money on the heads coming up the first time. I would have thought that nobody would have earned any money there. They had to pay Paul $2 to get $2, so you really should have ended up zero. So I did something wrong. That's not a surprise, is it? Maybe I'm just misinterpreting what the payout says. Maybe they, for example, number one, Kevin Boer says he earned $1,120. Maybe he had to pay $1,120 for that much stock, and so he got back the same amount that he paid. I don't know. Nick Bartlett, though, the number four trader in there, lost $2,200. Must have bought it up pretty high. I don't know if he was one of the first ones to buy into it at a higher price or not. Well, like I said, the game is going to run again. So if you want to make some money in Inkling Markets, pretend money, go out there and have a look. Well, I'm going to leave you with the entirety of that song, Don't Scream, after the disclaimer. It's your option whether you want to listen to it or not. I thank you so much for listening. Have a great summer. Have a great fall. Enjoy back to school season. Don't forget to take some pictures. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes cleaning up your stock portfolio to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next time. And visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios.
You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
When I look at this, I just can't figure it out. I've tried all of these methods to see your madness. I don't think that I can see the crooked glance you're giving me. And all I tell myself are the same damn lies. And you said, don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get by. From all the times I wondered why I don't need another chance to think you tried to scream. It'll take some time again. Yeah. I stood by the hourglass and felt like eternity. I waited by the phone, left me all alone. Hard to be so strong, nothing felt so wrong. I cried out to you, and no one seemed to hear my screams. It happened all so fast, but I spell you cast. We were meant to last, can't forget the past. And I said, don't scream, it'll take some time, but I can't buy high grade. From all the times I wondered why I don't need another chance to think you tried to scream. It'll take some time, yeah. It looks like I found you out. It looks like I figured out the games you played. And I'll never, ever, ever understand why all this time I've had to stand in line. Don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get by. I bleed from all the times I wondered why I don't need another chance to think you tried. Don't scream, it'll take some time, yeah. Don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get by. I bleed from all the times I wondered why I don't need another chance to think you tried. Don't scream, it'll take some time, yeah. It'll take some time, yeah. It'll take some time. Don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get by.
Thanks for listening. Check out madmoneymachine.com for more info.